50 years ago, while Ghanaians were celebrating their independence, America was trying to constrain the freedom of actor-activist Paul Robeson. In 1950, after he refused to disavow ties with the Communist Party, the U.S. government grounded him. He couldn't travel abroad, where his politics had made him an icon, and he couldn't work here, where those same politics had made him deeply unpopular with Cold War America. NPR's Corey Turner has the story.
For me, Old Man River ranks up there with Fred Astaire twirling his top hat and Gene Kelly singing in the rain. But in the 1936 movie version of Showboat, the great bass Paul Robeson isn't dancing. He's sitting on the bank of the Mississippi, exhausted by a lifetime of racism and hard work.
Hold that barge, lift that bale, you get a little drunk and your land's in jail.
Old Man River made Paul Robeson a star, but none of his other films enjoyed the same success. In fact, you couldn't find most of them in a video store until now. The Criterion Collection has dusted off 7 of them and released them in a new set. Normally, I'm not a box set kind of guy, and movies fall off the face of the earth for a reason. Like, they're bad. And at least one of these pictures is pretty hard to watch. But together, they tell a heck of a story. Paul Robeson was born in Princeton, New Jersey, 1898. His mother was an abolitionist, his father a runaway slave. Young Paul was the only African-American in his class at Rutgers University, where he suffered endless racist taunts and worse. But Robeson had a knack for getting the last laugh. He made football All-American twice and graduated valedictorian. By the time he earned a law degree from Columbia University, acting had become his passion. He'd paid for law school by taking small parts on the New York stage, and those soon turned into leading roles. In 1933, Paul Robeson appeared in The Emperor Jones, a film version of the Eugene O'Neill play he'd made famous. Jones is a huckster who cons his way from a porter's job in the Jim Crow South to self-proclaimed ruler of a Caribbean island. It's a rich part that allowed Robeson to turn the tables on American bigotry. Here, Emperor Jones threatens the life of his weaselly white sidekick.
Maybe I does kill one white man back there. Maybe I does. And maybe I killed another right here for long if he don't look out.
Do you think I'd preach on you? Not me. I'm your friend, ain't I?
Sure you is. And you'd better be.
Hollywood just wasn't ready for this kind of willful black character, and Robeson wasn't willing to play anything less. So he and his wife packed their bags and moved to England. There, Robeson toplined a string of politically progressive films, except for this one, his first.
I came to tell you about a very high and important matter.
Is that not a lie, Bosember?
Lord Sandy, I lie to anybody if I think it is good for me. But I will never lie to you.
In Sanders of the River, Robeson plays, and I'm not kidding here, an African chief named Bosambo. Wearing nothing but a leopard-skin loincloth, he helps an idealized British officer protect the natives from, well, themselves. Here's Robeson preparing to go to war for the Queen.
On, on, into battle, make the war drums rattle, mow them down like cattle. Onward, on, into battle, stamp them into the dust.
According to Paul Robeson Jr., his parents attended the film's American opening together, and the movie's pro-colonial tone surprised and embarrassed his father.
Mom looks up and he pretends he's going to the bathroom or something, and she realizes, uh-oh, he's out of there. So she up, and yes, sure enough, he went back to the apartment, which isn't that far. So she goes back, and she says, you can't do this, you gotta go back. So they had this big argument, and she says, look, Paul, Jomo Kenyatta is sitting up there, and he's got a bit part in there, and all the Africans stay in there. You can't be more African than the Africans. Get over it.
Unbeknownst to Robeson, British censors had forced the film's director to make a number of changes that glorified British colonialism. But again, Robeson got the last laugh. he parlayed his increasing popularity as a singer into new, unprecedented creative control over his films. His next picture, Jericho, was different. Robeson plays an American GI. When he accidentally kills a man to save the lives of several comrades, he's thrown in the brig.
I'm grateful to you, Captain. I know you're doing everything.
Oh, I know it's tough, all right, but then war is tough, isn't it?
Yes, war. Did I want to learn how to kill? No, but they taught me and taught me until my arms ache with sticking steel into sandbags. These hands that I want to use to heal, to save life, to give life, turned into hands for killing.
Robeson's hero escapes to North Africa and settles in the Sahara. There he becomes a doctor, marries, and starts a family. In other words, he plays a complex character, like his white contemporaries, Gary Cooper or Clark Gable. Remember, this was the late 1930s. Name one American film with a black actor in a role like this at the time. Definitely not Step and Fetch It.
Me, gentlemen, if that's a ghost, that ain't no job for gentlemen of color. That calls for a regimental chaplain, and you know we done buried him at Shiloh.
Not even Hattie McDaniel's Oscar-winning role in Gone with the Wind can compare with Robeson.
Mammy, darling.
No use to try to sweet talk me, Miss Scarlett. I knows you ever since I put the first pair of diapers on you. I said I was going to land with you, and voila I is.
Paul Robeson, Jr.
He had a profound impact on the image that the American people as a whole, black and white, had of black people, and especially black males as human beings.
My way leads to good green pastures. My way leads to big high mountains. Lonely road with a heavy load. Brother, are you walking my way?
After Jericho, Robeson's politics took over his movies, as if creating strong black characters just wasn't enough anymore. His last film, Native Land, finds Robeson narrating a documentary-style critique of racism and cheering the rise of American unions. It was his Communist Manifesto.
Here in their organizations was the new strength of the people. AFL and CIO and railroad brotherhoods. Millions of little people banded together to protect each other.
Following World War II, Robeson limited much of his performing to political causes. He traveled the world rubbing elbows with a communist elite. He even sang the Chinese national anthem. When Robeson returned to the U.S. in 1950, the State Department revoked his passport. His politics had made him persona non grata, and his career came to a standstill. The bottomless bass voice that had raged for a quarter century fell silent.
Back to work with no repining all through the night.
But once again, Robeson got the last laugh. Just before the first movie in the new Criterion set begins, The Emperor Jones, you'll see a grainy black screen with big white letters. It reads, "This film was restored by the Library of Congress."
I have always believed it, and I believe it now, and you know who I am.
Who are you?
America!
Corey Turner, NPR News.
Just keep rolling, he keeps on.